You feel blessed this morning? Hearing about all of these things that are going on in our church and knowing about many of them, I was reminded while I was sitting there about something I heard and have remembered ever since many years ago. And it's this, that we really don't grow on the mountaintops. We grow in the valleys. Lately, every time I have the opportunity to bring a message from God's Word, I have that privilege. I wonder if this might be the last opportunity I'll ever have. But I'm thankful for this time. After all, we never know what tomorrow may bring. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, because we do not know what a day may bring forth." And many of us here have had experience with that. Taken by surprise by something we had not thought about, perhaps not even planned on, and it just happens. And I mention this not only for myself, but for each one of you too. Because not one of us is guaranteed anything beyond this moment. Amen? Amen. So my earnest hope this morning is that each one of us will have made their peace with God. That is to say that you have received and taken Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior and Lord before it's too late. Because once it's too late forever. There's no coming back. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory. Well, this morning, one of my favorite Old Testament characters is Moses. And you might have a favorite yourself, or one or two. This is a man who in various ways affects our lives, his experiences. This is a man who, in one way or another, is an example of our own Christian life and walk. A man I'm sure that we can all relate to. And there are many lessons we can learn from his experiences. And I hope and pray this morning that the events I'm going to highlight here about Moses will be helpful to us, but will also be a challenge for us. So let's pray. Lord, we stand in a sacred place this morning again, about to reveal your word to ourselves. And Father, we know there is power in your written word. And Lord, we know also that once your word is spoken, it never returns to you void. It does accomplish the purpose for which you've sent it. And we know this morning here, Lord, that somewhere in this audience, someone needs this word. And we thank you for that, Lord. And now, Father, we commit this whole service to you. May it bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, I hope you have your Bible this morning. That's good. Oh, did you know, by the way, that you can get a Bible when you come to church? Maybe some of you don't know that. They're right at the entrance to the sanctuary here. You can get one from an usher when you come in. So if you forget your Bible, please try to remember to pick one up. There is great value in being able to see the printed word while the speaker or preacher is up here explaining it to you. So let's start here at Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. And I'm going to read that. You've already heard the reading this morning and know a little bit of the background of Moses' life. Now it came to pass, Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, if you want to follow along. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you did the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." So we know from the reading this morning from Exodus 1 that Moses survived Pharaoh's death decree, and in fact lived on to grow up in Pharaoh's household and was reared or brought up by Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the advantages in this situation provided him. In the book of Acts in chapter 7:22, we're told that Moses was learned in all the ways and all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. At 40, he was a mature man, familiar with the military, a statesman, and a polished scholarly man. He had all the privileges of royalty. He was a man highly qualified and also filled with a sense of urgency. He was a man poised on the threshold of a brilliant career. He also seemed to be the ideal choice to be Israel's deliverer. His whole background, including his exposure to the Egyptians, prepared him for this. But something changed his life. Moses made a terrible blunder. We read that he went out to his people and something went awfully wrong. He committed murder and tried to cover it up. And we ask, how could Moses have done such a thing? Didn't God choose him? Well, yes, he did. In fact, Moses was a type of Jesus. Jesus delivers us from the bondage and the consequences of sin. And Moses eventually delivered the Israelites from the bondage and consequences of being in Egypt. From our viewpoint, Moses was well equipped to lead Israel. And he believed he was ready. So what went wrong? The answer is in verse 12 that we read. It says here that he looked this way and he looked that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Moses looked all around. He was aware of the world he was in, concerned about who might see what he was doing, what others would think of him, afraid of what their opinion might be. He was more concerned about what people might say about what they think about him than about what God would have him do. He was insensitive at this point to God. You see, Moses had a problem to solve and forgot something. Notice again that he looked this way and he looked that way. But he failed to do the very thing we all sometimes fail to do. He failed to look up. Moses dedicated himself to the task at hand. He was sincere. From his standpoint, he thought he was doing the right thing. And we sometimes too decide and set our priorities about what we think we should be doing, think our way is the right way, and believe we can solve all of our own problems, depend on our own wisdom, and thereby neglect to seek God's will and direction. Ever been in that situation? Well, I don't know about you, but that sometimes happens to me. And as I thought about this event, I was reminded that we as Christians are part of the mystical body of Christ. He is the head of the body, the one who gives it direction. And we all need to be fulfilling our specific role in the body. And not by doing things our way, the way we would like to do it, but doing it His way. so that the body of Christ can function properly according to His will. What, for instance, would be the situation if parts of our physical body, which also has a head, decided to do whatever they felt like? What an embarrassment if our hands decided to do whatever they wanted to determine each day what their plans are, or any other parts of the body's plans are, without direction from our head, and then demonstrate their enthusiasm by a vigorous show of uncontrolled activity. You can easily see what that would result in. So what did Moses not do again? He failed to look up. This is one lesson from Moses' life that can help us to always be aware of our need to depend upon God, to always look to God first, regardless of how big or small the situation might be. Just think, poor Moses, once he started on the wrong foot, so to speak, he compounded his wrongdoing. He hid the Egyptian in the sand, verse 12. He tried to cover up his error, but he also failed in doing that. He was found out. Remember in this that someone may also be watching you and me. Later on, we learn that when God was in control, God buried the whole Egyptian army successfully in the Red Sea. Amen. This makes me wonder why I sometimes try to do God's job when He can do it so much better than I can. We need to be very careful not to rely on self and our qualifications to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. Moses was a scholar, but more important than scholarship is relationship. And Moses had ability, but more important than ability is availability. The Lord wants us in relationship and be available to look up and to trust Him. Scripture tells us after this that Moses fled to Midian. What a come down. What a shame. He spent the next 40 years among shepherds and nomads, away from his people and the task he was born to do. Can we have times like that in our lives when we feel we have let God down by not allowing Him to have His way, and we feel like avoiding Him? You bet we can. While in Midian, Moses married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, and had a son whom he named Gershom, which, interestingly enough, means exile, and I am a stranger here. Well, that's enough bad news about Moses. Let's look at some good news. So let's fast forward approximately 40 years since Moses came to Midian. In Exodus chapter 3, if you want to look, I'm not going to read it, I'll explain it here. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, we learn that one day Moses took his flock to the mountain of Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he came upon a most amazing sight. Flames of fire were coming from within a bush, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him from within the bush in a flame of fire. And more than that, the bush was not being consumed. If I were Moses coming upon something like that, I'd be getting pretty excited and pretty inquisitive about this thing. Well, this burning bush has a great deal of significance for you and me today. Verse 3 tells us that Moses said, "I will turn aside and see this great sight." Many times as we go about our daily business, the Lord is trying to get our attention and would have us, like Moses, turn aside. To stop what we're doing, to stop going in the direction we're going in, and turn to Him. Let's imagine what thoughts might have gone through his mind. Here was Moses out of operation for 40 years, perhaps wondering if God had forsaken him, wondering if he would ever again be of service to the Lord. At age 40 years of age, he made a disastrous blunder And now this at 80, a burning bush. Perhaps when he looked at that bush, he thought, I used to burn like that. On fire for God. But I burn out in 24 hours, reduced to ash. But now here he was faced with renewed hope at a critical time in his life, with an opportunity to begin again. You know, our God is a God of new beginnings. So remember this story if you ever feel that you're of no further use to God. He never gives up on us. What did Moses do? He said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. I will now turn aside. He wanted to enter into an inquiry as to what the Lord wanted him to know. At that point, Moses made a decision to turn toward God and not walk away. 40 years ago, he made the wrong decision toward God by not looking up. This time, he made the right decision by turning aside. He turned from his present situation, his present occupation in life, and his spiritual ineffectiveness to listen to what God had to say to him. I love this story, and it even gets better. So what happens next is a beautiful picture of the great love God has for his children, you and me. God has not forgotten nor disowned Moses. We as God's children need to know this, that no matter how detached we may feel at times, he never forgets us. He seeks to have relationship with us. And to me, this is one of the most touching moments in Scripture, this moment of relationship. Notice that God had caught his attention, but did not speak to Moses until after Moses decided to turn to him. Verses 3 and 4 say this, when the Lord saw that Moses turned to look, God called to him. The Lord doesn't force his will on us. He didn't pressure or command Moses, but he waited for Moses to freely and from a willing heart choose to turn to him. Then we have an intimate acknowledgement by the Lord after Moses' decision. When he said here in verse 4, Moses, Moses. Why did he call his name twice? Once would have been adequate. It was surely not to be heard. And God doesn't speak frivolously or waste words. Now I've read different opinions and interpretations of why God repeated his name. But my personal belief is that this was an expression of love and compassion. It wasn't a calling, Moses, Moses, come over here. Moses, hey, I don't believe it was that at all. But it was rather a Moses, Moses. As if to say, I have missed you, my child. Welcome home. Said in much the same way as when he wept over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. That was an intimate moment for Jesus. Oh, how he wanted his children to come to him and have fellowship with him. This is how I believe the Lord talked to Moses on this occasion. He is always there for us, wanting to bless us. How merciful and loving, how faithful to his children. Fellowship then is immediately restored to Moses when he turns aside to the Lord. Immediately restored. We see a completely changed Moses now. In Egypt he was independent, he felt secure in the strength of his own accomplishments and his own ability, his own knowledge. But now we see a humble, submissive man. A man not only trained in the ways of the Egyptians, but also a man trained for the past 40 years in the ways of the desert and the wilderness. God had been preparing him even while he may have thought he had been forgotten. And we may not realize either how much God is preparing us for what he wants us to do. And especially you young people out there this morning who have your lives ahead of you. God is working in your life. You may not know what the outcome will be or what he's really preparing you for, probably something you never even thought of. But he is working in your life. Moses must have been overjoyed to be in intimate fellowship with the Father, as we are when we are walking in his will. His immediate response after the Lord called his name was, in verse 4, if you see it in your scripture there, what he said was this: "Here I am." And I've ad-libbed a few things that I think should go with this. And he said, "Here I am, Lord, I'm back. I'm ready to follow you. I've wandered away, but now I'm coming home." No pride, no self-importance now, just an attitude of obedience and availability. This is a wonderful story of reconciliation. To know that God never leaves us or forsakes us, but is always right here, even now, seeking our attention, waiting for us to look up and turn aside, if that is our need this morning, if that is your need. One last thought before leaving Moses is this. If you read Exodus chapter 7, verses 7 through to chapter 4, verse 11, these verses tell us about God explaining his plan to Moses for bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. In this process, Moses, who had just come back to the Lord, is putting up all kinds of reasons why he is not the person to do this. His last argument is in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and he says this: "Oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." What? What? What did we just read in Acts 7:22? Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. Wow. Ever have a discussion like that with the Lord, knowing you should do something, but finding reasons not to? Like, "Oh, I'm not able to do that." "Oh, that's not my thing. Let someone else do it." Well, I find God's reply in verse 11 humorous. Humorous, yes. When I prepared this message some years ago, I chuckled at God's reply to Moses after he said he was not eloquent and slow of speech and tongue. But the Lord said to him in effect this: "Moses, who made your mouth?" I guess that's why I find it humorous too. "Who made your mouth? Is this not the perfect squelch?" The Lord says, "Ralph, here's what I want you to do for me. Here's what I want you to, where I want you to go, what I want you to say." "Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm sorry, I'm not very good at speaking, and I'm not good with words." "Ralph, who made your mouth?" Think about it personally. You see, it's not a question of ability, it's a question of availability. Amen? What God actually said in verse 11 is, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have I not I, the Lord?" Then he goes on to say to Moses, and to me, and to you, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say." Now, who could turn down an offer like that? So in summary then, what we learn or might learn from this is to realize that Jesus wants to help us find our way through life. And he can do that so much better than we can. We should always be aware of our need to depend upon God, to always look to God first, regardless of how big or small the situation or task may be. So why not look up for his direction rather than running into problems by depending on our own human wisdom? Don't only call on the Lord after all else fails. I've been there, done that. And next, be aware of the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives and be sensitive to his leading. Take time to turn aside and listen when God speaks to our spirit, and especially allow him to give us guidance by frequently, and I underline that word frequently, reading and studying God's holy word. And last, when we're called to service as Moses was, let's not find invalid reasons and excuses to avoid committing to God, to his will for us. It might even involve getting in, or it might even mean getting involved in some form of Christian service right here in this church, right here in this church family. So let's just trust and obey. Remember, he will not ask us to do anything that he will not enable us to do. Amen. Are we without excuse? So one last thought then. Perhaps this morning you feel out of touch with the Lord, or you're having one of those times when he seems far from you. You're sensing a disconnect. Well, I have good news. God has not forgotten you and wants to restore you to the joy of your salvation. You know what that is, the joy of your salvation? It's a great place to be. So if you're having one of those times, why not simply say to Jesus, as Moses did, "Here I am, Lord. I'm ready to come back into relationship with you. Here I am." And I guarantee you that God will answer that prayer. Amen. And thank you.